Just walking with her makes me feel young again. All that energy, all that strength, all that life flowing through her. Didn't you sense that? Amen. And that's what I want. Isn't that what you want? And it's available. It's available to every one of us. One of the songs that they sang said, dip your heart in the stream. Dip your heart in the stream. Dip your heart in the stream. I hope that as we went through the evening so far, you were able to sense the stream of life, the river of living water that's flowing through this place. I hope that as that was happening, you were dipping your heart in the stream. It didn't say dabble your toes in the stream. It said dip your heart in the stream. Like the river that Ezekiel saw that was, you know, deep enough to dip your toes in, and you went a little farther and it was deep enough to cover your ankles and then up to your knees and up to your hips and up to your waist and up to your shoulders and then so deep that a man must swim in it. I hope that you allowed God to do that for you tonight. Because he's here, and he arranged all those songs and everything that's happening tonight to allow you to get in that river of living water and wash off all that stuff that's been holding you back. Wash off everything that's been troubling you. Everything that's been limiting you. Everything that's been keeping you from being able to praise and worship and honor him with all the energy and strength and enthusiasm that we displayed here tonight. Savannah, thank you for that beautiful dance. Thank you for just, you know, I feel energized just watching you. So, living stones, would you believe it? Something about stones again. The big rock in the road. Pastor Linda teaching us on gathering stones and then casting away stones. God has stones on his mind. Tonight it's living stones that he has on his mind. The Bible has a lot to say about rocks, about stones. In the Old Testament, he's called the rock of our salvation, the rock of our deliverance, the rock that we run to continually, the rock. He puts me high on a rock, far out of the reach of my enemies. He's called the stone of Israel. He's the rock that followed Israel through the wilderness, is the rock that gave them water in the wilderness. David said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. And it says, behold, I lay a stone in Zion for a foundation. And it says that to some, you know, it's the cornerstone, but to others it's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, the rock that the builders rejected. There's so much in the Bible. The rock that a wise man built his house on. The rock that Jesus said, you either better fall on it or it's going to fall on you and crush you. The Bible has a lot to say about rocks and stones. But Peter is the only writer in the Bible who writes anything about living stones. In the first epistle of Peter, the first letter that Peter wrote to Christians who had been scattered throughout five different Roman provinces who were discouraged and withering, can I say that? Peter talks about living stones, and he's the only one who does. Now, ask yourself why that might be appropriate, that Peter would talk about living stones. Because Jesus named Peter, you are a rock, Petros, a small rock, a stone. Jesus asked, who do you guys say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. And Jesus said, you're right. I am. And on that truth, I'm going to build my church. Peter felt pretty good about himself. A few minutes later, Jesus is telling Peter and the disciples, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be crucified. He started to tell them all the things that were going to happen to him. And Peter goes, oh, no, 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 God. You know, no God. No Jesus. That shall never happen to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, get away from me, Satan. you're an offense to me. Because you don't have in mind the things of God, you have in mind the things of man. Now, Jesus was talking to Satan, who was speaking through Peter. Not too long later, Jesus is in Jerusalem, you know, in the days of the crucifixion, passion. Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, and he comes to Peter, and Peter says, No, you will never wash my feet. That's too lowly a job for you. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't belong to me. You have no part of me if I don't wash your feet. And the next day, when Jesus was captured, well, Jesus warned them before that happened that tonight all of you are going to abandon me. And who said? Who said no? Peter said, no. Though everybody else would leave you, I will never abandon you. 3-4 hours later, he has denied Jesus 3 times, saying, I don't even know the man. See, Peter thought he was a solid rock. He thought he was rock solid. But he found out he was not. He found out how far Satan can take our flesh and run with it. And you know about that too. And Peter, he went through a process of being crushed and broken, of repenting and asking Jesus for forgiveness and being restored. He went through a very painful process of being turned from a rock to a living stone. The process is painful, and it's a process that we all go through. Let's see. God's building a house. And he's not using natural materials, the things that we would use here on earth. The building that we are sitting in is not the house God is building. The people who know him are his house, are his body. God is using spiritual material that Peter calls living stones. God's house is in the unseen, you know that. It's in the spiritual realm, it's not visible. And Jesus is the original living stone. He is the cornerstone of the church, and it's his intent that we are being patterned after him as living stones. The term occurs only in Peter, and when it says living stones referring to Jesus and living stones referring to you is the same words. So he expects us to be patterned after him, to be living stones like he is. So tonight, we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics of living stones so that we can ask ourselves if we are one. Because Peter thought he was, but he found out he wasn't. And if we are one, where are we in the process? So we're going to start with 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. You are coming to Christ. Stop right there. Coming implies a connection. Living stones are connected to Christ, the living stone, the cornerstone, the source of life. Living stones are coming to Christ. You are coming to Christ, the living stone, who was rejected by humans but chosen and precious by God. And coming to him here does not mean the day that you came to him and said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. That was a very important day. Especially if it was from your heart, a lifetime commitment. But this coming to him refers to coming to him daily, on a regular basis, coming to him for his nourishment, coming to him for his refreshment, coming to him for everything that you need on a daily basis to be a living stone. You are coming to Christ, the living stone who was rejected by humans, chosen by God and precious. You come to him as living stones, a spiritual house. that is being built up into a holy priesthood. You, me, we, the body of Christ, are being built up into a spiritual house to bring spiritual offerings, spiritual sacrifices to God that he accepts. And you know he only accepts our offering through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. But we talked earlier about the fact that you are the greatest offering. You are the sacrifice. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. He's the source of life. Living stones come to him regularly for spiritual nourishment. In the verses before this, Peter is talking to the believers who have been scattered throughout the Roman Empire, encouraging them to continually come to Jesus for strength because they're facing persecution. They're facing a lot of trouble. And he's writing to encourage them to not lose hope. He tells them, you're born of the living word. You're born of the indestructible word of God. And you need to stay connected to it. Living stones are hungry. Living stones, he told them, hunger for the word of God like babies desire the milk. And you know how that is. If they don't have it, they're screaming. So, how hungry are you? As a living stone, how hungry are you for the nourishment of the Word of God? How often are you in the Word? How often are you communicating with Him, listening to Him, talking to Him, asking Him to fill you, to strengthen you? Because living stones are hungry for the Word of God, and it is the Word of God that is building us together into a spiritual house. If you're not hungry for the Word of God, you are not being built up. You are not being built together into a spiritual house. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12 quickly. He, Jesus, is the stone that the builders rejected, the stone that has become the cornerstone. No one else can save us. Indeed, we can be saved only by the power of the one named Jesus and not by any other person. So living stones are people who have put their complete, unshakable faith and confidence in Jesus. Living stones are not on the fence. If you're sitting on the fence, trying to make up your mind, trying to decide whether to go God's way or go your own way, you're not a living stone. If you're a living stone, God has your heart. To me, if I had to choose the most important one, it would be this: that God has your heart. In the story of the prodigal son, there were two sons. The younger son asked the father for his inheritance, that which would be his. And he took it all, and he went to a far country, and he spent it all. He wasted it. And then he fell on hard times, and he's sitting there amongst the pigs, not even able to eat the slop with the pigs. And he realized that at his father's house, everybody's feasting. And he thought, I'm going to go back to Dad. When he came to himself, it says, I like that. When he came to himself, when he realized who he was, when he was back in his right mind, he realized he had made a big mistake. Let's look at Luke 15, 20 and 21. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, the father ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both you, heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And it tells us that he was planning to say, make me like one of your servants. I'm not worthy to be a son. But the father didn't have time to listen to that stuff. He just forgave him. The father took him back into the house. This son went back to the father's house, humbled himself, and became part of the father's family again. And this happened because the father had his heart. He gave his heart to the father. Does God have your heart? It's a very important question. In fact, Bishop told us Sunday, I think it was during the offering, don't challenge the devil if God don't have your heart. Really, the most important thing you can make sure of is that God really has his heart. Look at the younger son, or the older son. The older brother was angry, and he wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once did you ever, and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And again, all that time, you never even gave me one young goat to celebrate with my friends. How unfair you have been to me. Yet when this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, you feel the spite in those words? When this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf for him. This older son wouldn't even rejoice with the father, not even when his father came out and begged him to and come and join the party. The father did not have this son's heart. This son was ruled by his own selfish desires. He had not given his heart to his father. Does God have your heart? How you respond when you are wrong. Oh, have we ever been wrong? How we respond when we are wrong, or when we are in trouble, or when we're under attack, or when we're being persecuted. How you respond when things that seem unfair to you happen to you, those things reveal whether or not God has your heart. The younger son returned to his father, humbled himself, and the father didn't even want to hear it. He said, come on, put the best clothes on and the best ring. Took him back into the house because that son actually, the father actually had his heart. Even while he was gone, he was thinking of that father that loved him. Okay, let's go on. Living stones are patterned after Jesus, Matthew 21:42. Then Jesus asked them, these are the people he was talking to, didn't you ever read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone? This is the Lord's doing, and it's wonderful to see. Didn't you ever read that? That's what he asked him. Now, today, if there's a cornerstone on a building, it's usually decorative or commemorative. Might even have a time capsule in it. Often it has inscribed the names of the company that the building is built for. Sometimes it's not even on the outside of the building, it's on the inside and not on the corner. But a cornerstone was a pattern stone. A cornerstone was the most important stone in the building. It set the pattern for all the other stones that were going to be used. It joined the walls. It set the level of the building, the angle of the walls, and the outside dimensions of the building. Everything was patterned according to that cornerstone, which was called a pattern stone. The whole building was aligned with the pattern stone. Living stones are patterned after Jesus. Living stones are being aligned with Jesus. So, are you aligned with him? Does your life line up with the word of God? Does a life line up with the word that he's telling you? Another characteristic of living stones. Living stones are pliable, moldable, willing to be shaped. They're not rigid and stiff and stuck on their own way. Ezekiel 36:26, the Bible says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your stubborn heart, some translations say stony heart, and give you an obedient heart, a soft heart. To be a living stone requires our willingness to be changed. It requires that we are not stubborn, not self-willed or rigid, not going our own way, doing our own thing. Living stones are obedient to the word of God. And just in case you have forgotten how Bishop defines obedience, which is so, so good. Obedience means I do what you say, when you say, the way you say, just because you say, even if I don't agree. So if you're obedient to God, you do what he says, when he says, the way he says, just because he says, and even if you don't agree with it. And are there things that God asks you to do that you don't agree with? Amen. However, it does not excuse us from obeying him. He said, I'll give you a new heart, a soft heart, a new spirit, an obedient heart. Living stones have obedient hearts. They are pliable, moldable, willing to be shaped. You know, it takes our will. God will never overrule your will or my will. Let's see. Another one. Each living stone has a God-assigned place in the house, in the body. Each living stone has a particular place in relationship to the cornerstone where that stone is placed, and it has its own particular function. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. In him, that's in Jesus, all the parts of the building fit together, and they grow into a holy temple in the Lord. All the parts. Every living stone. Through him also you are being built in the Spirit together with others into a place where God lives. Now I will tell you right here and now that a lot of you don't like being built together. A lot of you kick against that. What they said about horses and oxen, they kick against the traces. When you coupled them up together to do work together and they didn't like to work together, they would kick against the traces, the straps and the things that a lot of you do not like that. And we can see it by the way you treat one another, by the way you respond to one another when things happen. But this says, in him all the parts of the building fit together. You fit, whether you like it or not. The place he gave you is the place you fit. And if you allow him to build you into that place, you will find that it is the best place for you. It is the place that you will grow. It is the place where the whole body, if everybody stays in their place, the whole body grows. What's that Pastor Linda loves to say? Stay in your lane. Don't get in somebody else's lane. Don't get in somebody else's place. Don't try to take somebody else's role. Stay in your lane. Stay in your place. This is what God is telling us. You have a place. All the parts of the building fit together and they grow into that temple for the Lord when everyone is allowing themselves to be built together with others. I know sometimes you wish there just weren't any others because they get on your last nerve. But without the others, we cannot become the house where God lives. Each living stone has a God-assigned place in the spiritual house, in the body. Let's see. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 12. So God put each and every part of the body together as he wanted it. Each and every part. So who's not included in that? That's right. God put you where he wanted you. Can you rejoice in that? Can you be happy and say, this is where God wanted me, and let me fit here, and let me grow here, and let me see what else God wants to do with me in this place? He put each and every part of the body together as he wanted it. You know, like Peter said, oh, no, 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 God, that'll never happen to you. And we go, oh, no, 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 God, I don't want this place. I want that place. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. I don't want to obey you here. I want to do my own way here. And the verse goes on to talk about how every part in the body has its own function. And how could it be a body if there was only one part? There are so many places in the body of Christ that need to be filled, not by just anybody, but by the person that God has assigned to that particular place. So there are many parts, but one body. Let's go to the next verse. We will speak the truth in love. You know, I used to I've heard that verse misused so many times. I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to tell them in love what's wrong with them. A lot of people use that verse for that. I'm going to correct them, but I'll do it with love. There's no love in your heart. There's no love in your voice. But this, really, I like other translations better because it says we will speak the truth. We will hold to the truth, do the truth, practice the truth, live the truth in love. Now, if you said, I'm going to practice the truth in love, I like that a whole lot better. Because that's what we need to be doing. We need to hold to the truth. You know and I know that in this house we hold to the truth, tightly to the truth. We speak the truth. God told Bishop, I'm going to use you to speak my truth. And we all follow that rule. Do we live the truth? Do we practice the truth? Do we hold to the truth in love? If we do, if you do, if I do, if each one of us does, we are growing more and more and more like him. Let's see, go up and finish the verse there. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts of the body grow and be healthy, and be full of love. What if your pituitary gland in your body doesn't do its work? You don't grow like you should. What if your liver doesn't do its assigned work? You're going to be sick. What if your kidneys don't function the way they were created to function? You're right. Amen. I rebuke that. Just as every part of the human body needs to function in the role it was given in order for the body to be healthy and growing, every part of the spiritual body needs to function in the role it was given so that the body of Christ can be healthy and growing and full of love. It doesn't happen by accident. It takes our willing participation to allow God to place us and grow us and mold us and shape us. And anytime we stray away from where he has assigned us, we have departed from the pattern. We have gotten out of alignment with God. All right, now I want to talk about John 14, verse 2 for a minute, where Jesus says, in my Father's house are many places. In my Father's house is more than enough room. Depends on what translation you're looking. A father is called the head of the house. He's not the head of a building. He's the head of a family, a group of people. And they are all in relationship with the Father. In our Father's house, in the spiritual house that God is building, with Jesus as the head, God has the heart of every family member. That's how a diverse family can live together in peace and harmony and unity. If God has the heart of each and every family member, if God doesn't have a person's heart, he's not yet part of the family. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. If God does not have your heart, you are not part of his family yet. And that's why you cannot live in peace, because you haven't given him your whole heart. Giving your heart to Jesus is not the same thing as saying those so-called magic words, you know, when you're born again. Those are very important words. If they are from your heart, you mean them with all your heart and you live by them. But giving God your heart means letting go of everything that you want and doing what's in the Father's heart. You give him your heart. Like the song said, come, wash your heart in the stream. Drown your heart in that stream of living water. Let the Father have your heart. Now, here's a question. How many people are in our Father's family? We have no idea. But there are a lot, and there's more than enough room, and each person has its own special work, and we do not all have the same function. So we need not covet one another's functions, be jealous of one another's functions, try to usurp, do the job, do the work that God has given to someone else. We are being built together into a spiritual house for God, and it's not a building at 424 County Road, Lake 29, Lake Placid. It's a spiritual house, a spiritual dwelling. It's made up of many members, each one chosen by God and precious to him, each one placed in the body as it suits him. The body is made up of living stones. Here's some more things about living stones. Living stones are pliable, moldable, flexible, can be shaped to perfectly fit their place in the building. Living stones can say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Living stones can turn from their mistakes. Bishop always tells us, know better, do better. Living stones have given their whole heart to God. Living stones are not led by their emotions. They're not trying to fit into the world. They're not trying to do their own thing. They're not trying to have it all their own way. Living stones are led and guided, shaped and molded by the Holy Spirit to be unmovable, unbendable, unshakable, unbreakable. It's an oxymoron. You're flexible, you're pliable, you're moldable, but you're also immovable, unbendable, unshakable, unbreakable, because he is your rock. Living stones weather every storm. One last one I want to talk about. Living stones are willing to forget the past and move forward. In Isaiah 43:16, this is what the Lord says. He is the one who made a road through the sea, a path through the rough waters. He's the one who defeated the chariots and horses and the mighty armies. They all fell together and will never rise again. They were destroyed as a flame is put out. What's God saying? Sometimes life's going to be tough. He's saying there's going to be problems. There's going to be trouble. But I have overcome them all. They were destroyed as a flame is put out. Then the Lord says, forget what happened before. Do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I am going to do. It's already happening. Don't you see it? I'll make a road in the desert. I'll make a road where it seemed to be dry and dusty and where nothing was happening. I'll make a road. I'll put waters, living waters, in the desert. God reminding us in the first half of that what he has done for us and what he will do for us. But in the second part of that, telling us there's something new going on now. This is what I want from you now. Forget your past. Bishop said it recently. The greatest enemy of your future is your past. Let go of everything that has happened to you, everything that hurt you, all the pains. Let go of it all and realize that God is doing a new thing. Let's look at that in the message quickly. Same second half of the verse. Forget about what happened. Truly, Working Faith Ministries. Forget about what happened. Forget about the past. Forget about your disappointments. Forget about the past. Don't keep going over old history. And you do that in your mind. You keep going over the old history. You keep going over the thing that hurt you, the thing that caused you. He says, don't do that. Be alert. Be present. Be present. In other words, be alert and aware of what's going on right now in the present. I'm about to do something brand new. If it's brand new, you can't even imagine what it is. You can't predict what it is. But he's saying, I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? Don't you see in the Spirit how God is bursting out all over us? He says, there it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. God wants to do something new. And God wants to prepare us for that something new he's doing. God is turning things around for you. He's doing something new. He's turning things around. Pastor Linda preached, turn it around. You know, You've got to turn around if you want it to be different. Now, if you make a complete 360, you're going back the same way. So be careful. God wants to turn it around. God is turning things around for you, and it requires shaping and molding of us. We, Working Faith Ministries, you individually are moving into a new season. We're moving into a new season in the natural. September usually ushers in what we call the fall season. If you're up north, you know certain things happen. Leaves fall, vegetation dies, old things die, to make way for the new that's coming. There's so much in us, in each of us individually, and in Working Faith Ministries as a group, that needs to die as God changes seasons. There is so much in us that needs to die to be ready for the new season. There is so much shaping and molding that God wants to do to these living stones to prepare us for what God wants to usher in. So the question is, what needs to change in you in this season? You know, and God knows. And if you don't know, ask him, because he will show you what needs to change. Characteristics of the living stones that we talked about, they're connected to Christ. So are you connected? Are you coming to him regularly for nourishment? Coming to him regularly to grow, to change, to find out what he has to say to you? Living stones are hungry for the word. Are you hungry for the word? If you're not, do you remember when you were? When you first came to Christ, do you remember how passionate you were, how on fire you were, how you couldn't wait to come through the doors, you couldn't wait to get to the front seat and sit in the front seat and hear every word that was being spoken? And if you're not there now, ask yourself, why not? And Jesus told them in Revelation, I have something against you. You've lost your first love. Now go back and do again. Do the first things. Go back to the things you did at the beginning that made you so passionate. If you're a living stone, God has your heart. I think that is the biggest question we can answer. Does God really have my heart? And how I respond in trouble, in difficulty, in offenses, shows how much of my heart God has. Living stones are being patterned after Christ. Do you see yourself becoming more and more like him? Because that's what is supposed to be happening to us. Are you pliable? Are you moldable? Are you willing to be shaped? Or are you stubborn and rigid and still want your own way? Living stones are being built together into a spiritual house. And each living stone has a God-assigned place in the body. Are you willing to fill your place and be shaped into that place? I was talking with someone before service about how I have seen him grow and allow God to shape him and mold him and put him in places that he never thought he would be in. And is he fully where God wants him? Probably not. We may all be surprised with what God still wants to do, but are you willing to let God do that to you? Living stones have care and concern for the body. They want to see the body built up in love. And with living stones are willing to forget the past. The best verse we can end with is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Bishop always says, the greatest knowledge is what God knows. And God knows the plans he has for you, and he knows why he's placed you where he has in the body. He knows what he needs to do for you, through you, to you, so that you can take that place, so that he can fulfill his plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. Are you a living stone? If you are, where are you in the process? What do you need to change? What does God want you to change? He does not ask the same thing from any one of us. He knows where you need to change. And if you tell him you're willing and ask him to help you, he will make the change in you. Father, we are so grateful that we have the amazing privilege of being a living stone like Jesus, that we have the privilege of being a living stone in the house that you are building, in your temple, in the place that you want to inhabit. And my prayer tonight, God, is that you will help each one of us to be a living stone and to allow you to make us into the stone that we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen.